నమస్తే నాథ భగవన్ శివాయ గురురూపిణే విద్యావతార సంసిద్ధ్యై స్వీకృతానేక విగ్రహ నవాయ నవ రూపాయ పరమార్థైకరూపిణే సర్వజ్ఞానతమోపేద భానవేచిద్గుణాయతే స్వతంత్రాయ దయాక్లుప్త విగ్రహాయ శివాత్మనే పరతంత్రాయ భక్తానాం భవ్యానాం భవ్యరూపిణే వివేకినాం వివేకాయ విమర్శాయ విమర్శినాం ప్రకాశినాం ప్రకాశాయ జ్ఞానినాం జ్ఞానరూపిణే పురస్తాత్పార్శ్వయో పృష్ఠే నమస్కృత్యానుపర్యత శతామచిత్తరూపేణ విదేహి భవతాసనమిత్యేవం పంచమి శ్లోకే సువీతమాసనః ప్రాత ప్రబోధ సమయ జపాసుదివ సంభవేది శివాది గురుభ్యో నమః. ఓకే శైలేష్ యాక్చువల్లీ సెంట్ మీ
నమస్కారం.
వాంగ వాంగ శైలేష్. సో యూ సెంట్ మీ రిక్వెస్ట్ 2 weeks అగో టు టాక్ అబౌట్ గురుతత్వం ఫర్ వ్యాస పూర్ణిమ, రైట్? సో దిస్ ఇస్ ది అవుట్కమ్ ఆఫ్ దట్.
థ్యాంక్ యూ, థ్యాంక్స్ ఫర్ యాక్సెప్టింగ్ ద రిక్వెస్ట్.
గురు పాదుక మహిమ, గురు పాదుక మంత్రార్థం ఎక్సెట్రా ఇన్ సెవెరల్ లెక్చర్స్, అండ్ సిన్స్ దోస్ రికార్డింగ్స్ ఆర్ ఆల్రెడీ అవైలబుల్, ఐ థాట్ ఆఫ్ స్కిప్పింగ్ దాట్ బట్ కవర్ అన్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ టాపిక్ టుడే. జీజి హ్యాడ్ బీన్ ఆస్కింగ్ me to write an article about Sharanvaya Shambho Puja for close to 8 years now. Every year around July, she will remind me about this and ask me to include that in the Purnanandari. For some reason, it got delayed and maybe I did not get the strength to take such a task. Due to Guru Kripa, and only because of that, I am venturing into this vast unknown. As I always mentioned, Sri Vidya is not some Mantravadi Vidya. It is no different from Brahma Vidya. Jnana Marga folks may try to belittle Sri Vidya Margam as just an Upasana Margam. While there is definitely an Upasana concept in Sri Vidya, the serious Sri Vidya Dikshitas would know that Upasana is just a very small piece of this big puzzle. Karma Marga folks may try to belittle Sri Vidya Margam as just Japas. While there are Japas, there is no shortage of Puja Kramas, Nyasa Kramas, Yajnas, etc. Bhakti Marga folks may try to belittle Sri Vidya Margam as a mere Kriya Kalapam. While there is definitely Kriyas involved, our Nitya Anushtanams involve Parayanam, Slokams, Upacharams, etc., which is no different from what Bhaktas would perform. Yoga Marga folks may try to belittle Sri Vidya Margam as a simple puja stuff with all bhavanas and nothing mainstream. Little would they know that we are hardcore as them when it comes to Kundalini, Shat Chakras, Granthi Bedana, etc. In fact, when you compare the number of literatures in Yoga Sastra about Kundalini, and there are much more Tantra Sastras that detail about the chakras, and that too the science of piercing the Ajna from Ajna to Sahasrara. You take whatever Margam you want, the best of any such Margam would be in Sri Vidya Margam. We all know that without Vyasa, we would not have seen all the scriptures in this form. Vyasa is considered as an avatara only. Vyasaya Vishnu Rupaya, Vyasa Rupaya Vishnuve. We all normally think that Bhagavan takes avataras to kill asuras. Not true. There are numerous avataras, Vyasa, Shankara, etc., that came to save the Vedas. When there is a real danger for the Vedic scriptures or Sanatana Dharma, an avatara will happen. Vyasa is one such avatara in which he understood it will be difficult for folks to grasp all the shastras and hence categorize them as 14 different vidyas. The 4 Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama, Atharvana Veda, the 6 Vedangas, which are Chanda Sastra, Kalpa Sastra, Jyotish Sastra, Nirukta Sastra, Sikshata Sastra, Vyakarana Sastra, and then the other 4 Mimamsa, Nyaya, Puranams, and Dharma Sastram. So these 14 different vidyas. He also created mechanisms to read it, protect it, and ensure that every Sastra had an equal and important role to play in the society. Each one of them is an important pillar. This categorization helped revive the Sanatana Dharma. The next danger of losing these Vaidika scriptures happened during the popularity of Jaina and Buddhist darshanas. Several emperors became followers of those paths and started to force all of their subjects, their citizens, to follow them as well. So when there was a real danger of losing the Sanatana Dharma, Adi Shankara Avatara took place. It became essential. we all know what he did in those 32 years and what kind of revival of dharma that was. Go to any nook and corner of India, you would see some temple and some story talking about Adi Shankara coming there and doing something. How did he travel there? How did he speak their language? How did he convince those folks? How did he ensure the continuity of Sanatana dharmic practices even after him leaving that place? These are all not a human act, right? We all know that. It's without Adi Shankara, we would have lost this Vedic tradition completely. We would have lost Veda themselves. So we are fortunate to live in the same time when Mahapiriva lived. He is no different from any of the others I just mentioned. If you think of the time period he lived and the kinds of challenges he had to face, his job was enormous. If there are Agnihotris in India, and if there are Patashalas for all Shakas of Vedas, and if there are still Vaidikas, that too in Tamil Nadu, it is only because of Mahapiriva. Without him, even this lecture would not be happening. We would all be probably converted long time ago. We can say similar things about Chadanandanatha also. He is the sole reason for the revival of Sri Vidya tradition and Tantra Sastra in South India. Why am I talking about all these things now when the whole topic is about Chadanvaya Sambhava? Because there have been so many gurus, numerous gurus, some we might have known and numerous that we don't even know. Sadashiva Samarambham, Shankaracharya Madhyamam, Asmat Acharya Paryantam, Vande Guru Paramparam. So we only know about, think of Dakshinamurti, we think about Adi Shankara and our own Guru Trayams. That's all. But there have been numerous gurus who have added building blocks constantly so that we are able to stand upon those steps to attain our destination easily. Their efforts cannot be taken easily or forgotten. For that purpose, this Ashada Purnima is called Guru Purnima. This marks the beginning of the Chaturmasya for the Yatis. This is called Guru Purnima as it is a time to show our gratitude back to all those gurus who have been responsible for us to even think of God. To show our gratitude for these gurus, a procedure called Vyasa Puja was established. Every spiritual person was expected to show the gratitude towards their gurus by participating in this Vyasa Puja or performing the Vyasa Puja. Nowadays, this is done only in the Yati Sampradaya, sannyasis, as a mark of starting the Chaturmasya. A handful of Sri Vidya Upasakas also do this puja. In my 12 years of Sri Vidya, honestly, apart from my guru doing this, I have not seen anyone else do this. We call this procedure as a Vishesha Guru Mandala Puja. In the current generation, Guru Purnima has come down to visiting the gurus, having a Guru Darshanam. Due to Corona, this has even simplified to a WhatsApp video call with the guru. Now there is one other krama that we do on the Guru Purnima. This krama is called Sharanvaya Shambhava Rashmi Krama. While the Vishesha Guru Mandala Puja can be seen as a straightforward remembering of all gurus and showing gratitude to a procedure, the Sharanvaya Krama is totally different. Somebody is not having their phone on mute. Bhuma, can you go on mute?
Yes, Guruji.
So there are very, very few granthams that has even mentioned about this procedure. This has been kept as a secret and only passed down the lineage. What is so secretive about this krama? At the onset, this represents the entire seed, the creation process. The details of this krama is there in Sri Vidyarnava Tantram and Saubhagya Ratnakaram. As usual, decoding these are not easy, but the detailed procedures were provided by gurus. In fact, my guru gave me the handwritten manuscript passed down by Sri Siddhananda himself to one of his sishyas. Who can do this? Should be a Purna Dikshita. After numerous years as a Purna Dikshita, regularly performing the Panchaparva Pujas, 1 lakh Mahashodashi Japa, Nitya Parayanams, etc., and also getting the Adhikaram of the Shadamnayas, then there should be taught a series of Nyasas. I mentioned several times, Nyasas are not just touching your body. It has a deeper meaning and deeper method of you becoming that by your touch or an intense focus. Without reaching such a state, simply saying that you're doing Nyasas do not qualify. You have to be then initiated into numerous Nyasas. There are close to 50 Nyasas that are Urdhvam Naya related, and it has its own prefix that you add, just like the Tritaris that we normally use, the Om Aim Hrim Shrim. It has an entire different prefix that you have to use. Then finally, there is a Shambhu Padaka that is given to initiate a sadhaka into Shadanvaya Shambhava Krama. This krama cannot be done on all days. It has to be a Guru Parva day or Guru Purnima day. I only do it on the Guru Purnima day. Doing this Krama requires you to perform more than 100 Nyasas the previous day and then prepare yourself to prepare this Krama, perform this Krama the following day. If all this appears to be an interesting teaser for you, don't become curious and come and ask me, can you teach me this tomorrow? The answer is no. When the time comes, I will give it myself. There is no need to ask me. As I said earlier, there are pre-qualifications and also restrictions for performing this sadhana. It is not a recipe for everyone. I hope you all believe that your guru knows better whom to give it, what to give, when to give, where to give, and how to give. Okay? So I rest that question there. With that introduction, let me start explaining the Shambhava, Sharanvaya Shambhava Rashmi Krama. I was debating on how to start explaining this Krama because it is so complex and so secretive also at the same time. Should I simply walk through the source in Sri Vidyarnava Tantra or Saubhagya Ratnakaram? That would be elaborate, but they would not explain what this Krama is. It might help decoding how to do it, but none of those explain what it is and why should a person do it and what are the outcomes of it. As usual, the Guru Mandalam came to my rescue and decided to use Saundari Lahari as a starting point. I have talked about this with several of you whenever you have asked me about this Kramam in the past years. The 14th sloka of Saundari Lahari gives a hint to this Kramam. There have been several people who have written Bhashyams for Saundari Lahari. So we will pick up a few of those Bhashyams and I'll add whatever I have learned and heard and present it in an understandable form. Okay, here is the sloka. Chitau Shat Panchashat Dvisamadhika Panchashat Udake Utase Dvashashtihi Chaturadhika Panchashat Anile Divi Dvishat Panchatrimshat Manasi Cha Chatushashti Itiye Mayukaha Tesham Api Upari Tava Padambuja Yugam. That is the whole slokam. Okay, so I'm going to split it as usual. Chitau Shat Panchashat. Chitau means earth. Shat Panchashat means 650. So 56. Udake Dvisam Adhika Panchashat. Udake means water. So 2 more than 50, which is 52. Hutase Dvasashtihi. So Hutam means fire. Dvasashtihi is 62. Anile Chaturadhika Panchashat. Anilam means Vayu. Chaturadhika Panchashat means 54. Divi Dvishat Trimshat. So in Dvi means Akasham. Dvi Shat Trimshat. 2 times 36, which is 72. Manasi Chatushashti. In the mind, it is 64. That's all. Okay, you may be wondering if I have all the collections of Shankara's formula shlokas. Last session, it was about Panchikarna formula. And in this session, it is about this shloka. It is some jumbled numbers which does not seem to be in any arithmetic or geometric progressions. Well, the secrets are always like that. What would you do by simply reciting this sloka? It simply means earth is 56, water is 52, Agni is 62, Vayu is 54, Akasha is 72, and mind is 64. All these are coming from your feet. That's the meaning of this sloka. If you really look into it literally, that's the only meaning of this sloka. Most people would take this all as a, okay, the Shankara is saying all Panchapujas came from, Panchabhutas came from your feet. And conveniently ignore all those numbers and move on. It is the Paduka Mahima Faramba, and we'll chant this sloka as a Bhakti Margam to get some derived expected benefit. We all know there are specific prayogas for each Saundari Lahari slokam, and that's where most folks stop. That's the extent of the usage of this slokam. But we are not like that, isn't it? We are the ones who have listened to Varivasya Ragasyam Purvangam. We have had an aerial view of Srinagaram itself. We know the Tattvartham of Lalitopakhyanam also, and we are even looking at the Guna dimension of Srishti while discussing the Devi Mahatmya Rahasyatrayam. So we are more evolved people. So we can definitely call ourselves capable of understanding higher realms of universe making. So let's jump into the core of this slokam and try to peel out the true meaning of it. Agamas and Tatras have a common origin in Kashmir. This is from these several tantras and literatures came, and there have been a lot of authors of these tantra shastras and practitioners there. these tantras can be broadly classified into Purva and Uttara tantras. Okay, the Purva tantras are those that explain the Vimarsha aspect of the Shakti, or the Vimarsha or the Shakti aspect of Brahman, and hence called the Shakta tantras. The Uttara tantra explains the Prakasha aspect of the Brahman, and hence called the Shambhava tantra. Why is this name Shambhu? Okay, there is an interesting thing that I have remembered that in Tamil Nadu, in Tamil basically, there is no difference between Sa and Sha. And we have several Shas in Sanskrit. So we have Sha, Sha and Sa, three Sa's, and also a Cha. Okay, those four different things, and there's all the same in Tamil. And people have problems with these Aksharas. But from a meaning perspective, it makes a huge difference. For example, there's a popular song that you hear in Tamil Nadu when you go to temples. This will be played in all Shiva temples. Hara Hara Shivane Aruna Chalane Anna Malaye Potri. Then a group of ladies will sing a chorus. Namas Sivaya, Namas Sivaya, Om Namas Sivaya. This is exactly how they sing. If you hear properly, the male voice, XPB, would have proper pronunciation of the Shiva, but the chorus would have sung it as Siva. In Sanskrit, Siv means needle. Siva means a person who stitches using a needle, basically a tailor. So by saying Namas Sivaya, you're basically praying to a tailor. It's okay if you have an ability to see the Brahma Chaitanyam in the tailor, but if not, what is the point in worshipping a tailor? So the Shakaram in Sanskrit itself is called Shiva Shakaram. This Shakaram means Mangalam, and Shiva is the one who grants Mangalam. What is this? You may question, how can Shiva be Mangalam? He's supposed to be the destroyer, and you're saying he's supposed to grant Mangalam? Yes, what is he destroying? When we know the Atman is a Nitya Vastu, he cannot destroy that. So the Anitya Vastus, obviously, that's what he's destroying. Well, you can say that I also destroy Anitya Vastus. I can break a pot today. So am I Shiva? We won't be worshipping someone for breaking something, isn't it? So what is that Anitya Vastu that he destroys that make him worthy of worship? Ajnana. That is the Anitya Vastu. Like the snake on the rope, he destroys that, and hence he is worthy of worship. That is why we equate Shiva to a guru. Going back to Shambhu, there is the same problem with Shambhu and Sambhu. Shambhu means a person dwelling in the state of Anandam always. That is the Brahma Vastu itself. What is the meaning of Sambhu? It is more of a verb to imply made of. Okay, in Sanskrit. So Shambhu is the right way to pronounce it. So Shambhu means Nityanandam, Brahma Vastu. So Shambhava means one who grants that Nityananda. What is the Shadanvaya? Anvayam means connection. Shadanvayam means six connections. So Shadanvaya Shambhavakya Krama means that procedure which represents those six connections that can lead to moksha, which is the Brahma Vastu. Simple. So this Shambhava and Shakta Tantras in Kashmir Krama has several commonalities, but their procedures and approaches varied with the prominence of Shiva and Shakti. But they merged together in this Krama. It is like the Sammelana Krama in Chidambaram. There are several Nataraja Yantras, Nataraja Tantras and Pujas. Similarly, there are several Shivakama Sundari Yantras, Tantras and Pujas. However, the secret of all, the highest of all, is considered to be the Sammelana Yantra, Sammelana Nyasa, Tantra and Puja, which are where they all merge together. Such a merging procedure is this Shadanvaya Shambhavakya Puja. In this Shambhava Krama, it is said that when the Vimarsha Shakti had the initial Spandana, the one point of Prakasha, this Prakasha Bindu, started sending rays around. Okay? Because it was only Prakasham, right? That's all it can do. So that's all it can do. It can only start sending rays around. These rays were so powerful that they were the ones that can be seen. But they hit the actual Prakasha Bindu itself. This is why we call it Maya as Anadi also. Because with the initial Spandana itself, these Rashmis appears and covered the Brahma Vastu. So this Vimarsha Shakti, in coming up with this creation template, split herself into six Mayukas or Marichis. Basically, that means rays. So what are we talking about is the... What we are right now talking about is the seed state. The Tantras call this Pindandam. This is exactly the same as Brahmandam, because only from the seed the tree comes. Brahmandam is the forest concept, the seed and the forest concept. Kubjikar Tantra gives a detailed picture of the seed framework. So now starts the whole inner meaning. So you need to focus more. The Prakasha Swarupa Nirupadika Shambhu along with the Chit Sakti becomes Para. Okay, I'm going to split this, okay? The Nirupadika, I have already talked about this before. Nirupadi means attributes or limitations or reflective natures. This Nirupadika means without any attributes, without any limitations. So this Nirupadika, Prakasha, Brahma Vastu, when mixed with the Chit Sakti, which is the universal consciousness, becomes so upadika, becomes attributed, gathers limitations, and that is called para. This para in turn radiates the pradana mayukas, which are the prime rays. These becomes Icha, Jnana, Kriya, Kundalini, and Matruka, these five Shaktis. These are the, including the para, these are the six mayukas, the marichis, and also called as connections or anvayam. These are called anvayas because they are connected together to the Prakasha Bindu in the center. These six energy fields engulf the Prakasha Swarupa Brahman all around. Okay, while it is easier to contemplate such a thing from the Brahmandam level, the same should be addressed at the seed level also, the individual Jiva level too, isn't it? So these are the six energy centers, the Ajna, Vishuddhi, Anahata, Manipuraka, Swadhisthana, and Muladhara. Para acts on the Ajna Chakra. Icha Shakti acts on the Vishuddhi Chakra. Jnana Shakti acts on the Anahata Chakra. Kriya Shakti acts on the Swadhisthana Chakra. Kundalini acts on the Manipuraka Chakra. And Matruka acts on the Muladhara Chakra. The five elements were created and assigned each of these chakras. Muladhara to Prithvi, Manipuraka to Jalam, Swadhisthana to Agni, Anahata to Vayu, Vishuddhi to Akasham. Then this Sopadika Paramba was assigned the Ajna Chakra as the gateway for the space to reach the Prakasha Bindu. So from here to here, so that is the gateway. Ajna Chakra is the gateway. But there should be a Tattvam assigned to the Ajna Chakra, isn't it? So that is the Manas Tattva. This is why to condition the mind, we always talk about focusing between the eyebrows. So we now have the seed framework. The center Prakasha Bindu, which is connected to the six energy fields around. Paramba, linked to Manas Tattvam, Ajna Chakram, Icha Shakti Amba, Akasha Tattvam, Vishuddhi Chakram, Jnana Shakti Amba, Vayu Tattvam, Anahata Chakram, Kriya Shakti Amba, Agni Tattvam, Manipuraka Chakram, Swadhisthana Chakram, Kundalini Amba, Jala Tattvam, Manipuraka Chakram, Matruka Amba, Prithvi Tattvam, Muladhara Chakram. You may question why I said Manipuraka as Jala Tattvam and Swadhisthana as Agni Tattvam. I know this can be confusing as we always relate Swadhisthana to Jalam and Manipuraka with Agni. But in Saundari Lahri, it will be the opposite. And in this Krama, it will also be opposite. Shankara himself has given an explanation for that in his 40th Shloka in Saundari Lahri. So we will handle the topic some other day. I have talked to a few of you about why that happens. And because of the, when Kundalini raises, it from Muladhara, it goes and hits Manipuraka first and then settles down in Swadhisthana. And it is the actual path, the realistic path. And that's what is represented here. Okay, so we'll talk about all those things later in some other session. But for now, simply assume the Swadhisthana and Manipuraka got their names switched and follow the session. Okay? So don't get off in that topic. These energy fields in turn also radiate numerous rays or rashmis from them. While there may be infinite rays permeating from each one of them at the Brahmanda level, there are certain primary rays that have been identified and assigned to each of these energy fields at the seed level. They are as follows. We say Manas Tattvam is assigned to Paramba. We also know Paramba is the main link for the other Shaktis and also the Prakasha Bindu as well. So all these five Shakti divisions also sprout out of this Paramba energy field only. So Paramba consists of, so they divided Paramba into four different parts. One is Para, Pashyanti, Madhyama, and Vaikari. Form a Shabda Brahman dimension. Icha Shakti further divides into five. It's called Kartum, Karayitum, Upakartum, Pratikartum, and Udasitum. Kartum means to do, Karayitum means to make do, Upakartum means to help do, Pratikartum means to not let do, Udasitum means to not care about it, ignore. Okay, next, Jnana Shakti. It further divides into four detailed parts, into two major categories. One is Niralamba and Salamba. Niralamba means independent. Salamba means supported. This Salamba is categorized into further three, which is Jnatrik, Jnana, Jnayam. Okay, so we know that Jnatrik, Jnana, Jnayam, object, action, and subject. So that is the Jnana Shakti. So the four are Niralamba and Jnatrik, Jnana, Jnayam. Okay, Kriya Shakti. It further divides into seven parts. Ishtam, Purtam, Swadhyaya, Japa, Puja, Tapa, and Dhanam. So Ishtam is wish, Purtam is protect, Swadhyaya is recite the Vedas or your own whatever is your Swadhyaya. And then Japa, chanting, Puja is worship, Tapa is meditate, and Dhanam is charity. You may wonder, why is this Kriya Shakti only talking about Swadhyayam, Japam, Tapam, Dhanam, etc.? What about other actions? Those are all the functions of Karmendriya which will come at the macro level. But here I want you to understand that even though we all think that this Janma is a punishment, it is truly an anugraham. Imagine your pre-Janma state as a just plain Atman plus karmic baggage. You are not a realized soul at that state yet. You are hanging out in some place, world, or in some tree or wherever, waiting for ages to hopefully get a Janma so that you can get an opportunity to resolve the karmas and get rid of the baggage and attain the Jnana at least in the Janma. So imagine those long waiting years to get a Janma. The moment your turn comes and you're called, how would you feel then? Great anugraham, isn't it? What was the purpose of this Janma? You came here to resolve all your karmic baggages. That is the only way. But how to resolve it? By doing the same mistake that you did earlier? By missing the same moksha opportunity like you did earlier? No, right? So the purpose was clear during the Garbhavasam. The moment the umbilical cord was cut, Maya engulfs you and you forget the purpose and run around making the same mistakes as before. This is where the Shastras come to help in guiding you what your purpose is, how to reach the goal, how to make use of the opportunity that is before you. In Viveka Chudamani, Bhagavad Pada starts this, Jantunam Narajanma Durlabam Ataha Pumstvam Tataha Viprata Tasmat Vaidika Dharma Marga Paratara Asmat Param Atma Anatma Vivechanam Swanubhavaha Brahmatmana Samsitihi Muktirno Satakodi Sukritaihi Punyehi Vina Labhyate. Of all living beings, it is very rare to take the human birth. Within that, it is difficult to reach a full adulthood. Even rare is getting a sattvic life. Even rare is the opportunity to follow the Vaidika Dharmas. Even rare is to understand what is told in those. Even more rare is the ability to discriminate between Atma and Anatma, the Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekam that I always talk about. By cultivating this Viveka Chintana and Vairagyam, staying in the Brahma Vastu and experiencing it and getting liberated, it is not possible unless you have earned lots and lots of punyas from Satakoti Janma, 100 crores Janmas. Durlavam Traya Eva Yetate Devanugraha Hetukam Manushyatvam Mumukshatvam Mahapurusha Samshayaha. He continues and says that there are three difficult things to get. And if you have that, you should simply assume that you have a full Devata Anugraham. What are those three things? Manushyatvam, the human life. Mumukshatvam, so the thirst to attain the moksha. Third is Mahapurusha Samshayaha, having a Sri Guru. So then he continues, Labdva Katamchit Narajanma Durlabam Tatrapi Pumstvam Shrutipara Darshanam Yaha tu Atma Muktau Nayateta Mudadihi Sahi Atmaha Swam Vinihanti Asat Grihat. If you somehow get this human birth, which by itself is rare, and if you get to a full adulthood and are exposed to Shrutis, in spite of all that, if a person is clinging to just the Asat, the external entities, the Jatavastus, then what to talk about such fools who can't strive to realize the true nature? This whole Janma for them is nothing but a suicide, meaning they have killed the wonderful opportunity that they might have to wait for another hundreds or lakhs of Janmas or to get such an opportunity back. So, itaha kaha nu asti mudatma yastu swarthe pramadyapi durlabam manusham deham prapya tatrapi paurusham. He stresses again on the same point. Who can be a greater fool than such a person who, in spite of getting all these rare blessings, ignores to walk the path of moksha? Vadantu sastrani yajantu devana kurvantu karmani bhajantu devataha atmaika bodhena vinapi muktihi Nasidyati Brahma Satatarepi. Chant the sastras, offer ajanams, perform pujas or kriyas, worship the gods. Without the Atmanubhuti, it is impossible to get the liberation even in 100 Brahma years. Santam Mahantam Samupetya Deshikam Tena Upadishta Artha Samahitatma. Where to begin? Find a good natured, learned guru and hold his feet tight. Not only that, follow his words to the core. This is how Viveka Churamani begins. And if you're interested more on this, there are tons of YouTube videos and lectures on that given by stalwarts. And you can listen to those. Getting back to our context. So the purpose of this birth itself is to attain moksha. And for that, your kriya should be following the Guru Vakya, and those who definitely fall into these categories only, right? Swadhyaya, Japa, Tapa, Puja, and Dana. Take whatever religion, whatever belief you have. You would end up doing only of any of those things if you are a mumukshu. So kriya shakti actions make sense. Next comes Kundalini. It further divides into four parts. Unnaya, Laya, Prativrutti, and Vishranti. Unnaya means rise above. That is the nature of Kundalini. Laya means merge in the Sahasrara. That is what we like to. Pratyavritti means returning back, which happens all the time. Vishranti, which is rest in Muladhara. I can hear the mind voice of several of you. I hear you guys saying, my Kundalini only knows Vishranti and has forgot that it is capable of doing the other actions. Well, don't worry. All Kundalinis have the potential to do all the four. So if yours is working, doing one thing effectively, it is just a matter of time for it to start doing the others. You have to make it get bored with that one Vishranti task. That's all. Next is Matrika. It gets further divided into 8 parts. Avargam, Kavargam, Chavargam, Tavargam, Tavargam, Pavargam, Yavargam, and Shavargam. We all know that. A-I-E, Kakagaganga. So those are those Matrikas in 8 different categories, parts. So now we have 4 parts of para, 5 parts of icha, 4 parts of jnana, 7 parts of kriya, 4 parts of kundalini, 8 parts of matrika. If you put all these things together, you get 32 total. That's the 32 rashmis. So for creation to happen, you need mithunams. So they split in further into Shiva and Shakti components or male and female components. So 32 plus 32 equal to 64 rashmis. So in the para, which is the Manastattvam, Ajna Chakram, we have 64 primary Mayukas or rays. Now, if you go back to the Saundaralagri Sokram, it would have said Manasicha Chatushashti Iti, meaning in the mind there are 64. Kanaka Sariya Bocha? Similarly, we'll look into the next 5 energy fields and how they are connected. Okay. Let us now take the next energy field, which is Itya Icha Shakti Amba Vishuddhi Chakram Akasha Tattvam. This is very, very simple. At the para level, we had to look at all these shaktis, penetrations, etc. But when it comes to akasha, it means creation is already happening. So you need a place to secure all the tattvas. Okay, so again, we are again looking into the seed level, the seed framework. So at that energy point, you need all these tattvas included, embedded in that seed. So because we know this whole creation is tattvatmikam, since the actual expansion takes place because of this energy field and within this energy field, all the 36 tattvas are involved here. So, you know the 36 tattvas, Shivadi Avani Paryantam, okay? So, all these 36 tattvas is seated within this Anvayam. Again, we saw this for creation, we need the male and female component. So, they split into 2 and became 36 plus 36, which is 72. So, in the Icha Shakti Amba, Akasha Vishuddhi Chakram, we have 72 primary Mayukas or rays. So, now you look back to the Saundaralagri Shlokam, you would have said, Divi Dvi Shat Trimshat, meaning in Akasha, there are 2 times 36, which is 72. Let's look into the next Anvayam, which is the Jnana Shakti Amba in Anahata Chakram, Vayu Tattvam. Akasha, we already saw even during the Panchikarana session how other Bhutas came out of it. So, Vayu would have more of the gross components from the Akasham itself. So, we have 5 Bhutas, 5 Tanmatras, 5 Jnana Indriyas, 5 Karma Indriyas, Mano, Buddhi, Ahankara, Chittam, Prakriti, Purusham, and Kalam. So if you add that, you'll get 27. Again with the Midunam, you get 27 plus 27, which is 54. Now if you look back to the Saundaralagri Sokam, it would have said, Chaturadhika Panchashat Anile, meaning in Vayu there are 54. We'll go to the next one. Kriya Shakti Amba Swadhishthana Agni. This would be a subset of Vayu again. So we have five bhutas, five tanmatras, five jnanendriyas, five karmendriyas, five functions of jnanendriyas: to hear, to feel, to see, to taste, and to smell. Five functions of karmendriya: vachana, to speak; adana, to hold; gamana, to move; visarga, to release; ananda, to enjoy; and then manas. Okay, so we have a total of 31. Again, with the mithunam, we get 31 plus 31, which is 62. So Saundarya Lahari Shloka says, Hutase Dvashashtihi, meaning in Agni, there are 62. Now let's look at the next one, which is the Kundalinyamba in Manipuraka Chakram, which is Jaratattvam. It is the same as the Agni, but we remove the five tanmatras from that. So 31 from minus 5, which is 26. So we have basically five bhutas, five jnanendriyas, five karmendriyas, five functions of jnanendriya, five functions of karmendriya, and then manas. So we have a total of 26. Again, with the mithunam, we get 26 plus 26 equal to 52. Again, Saundarya Lahari Shloka says, Dvi Samadhika Panchashat Udake, meaning water has 52. Finally, the last anvayam is Matrikamba, which is in Mooladharam, which is Prithvi. This is the same as Vayu, but you add Mahat to it, the universal consciousness to it as well. In Vayu, we saw a total of 27. So if you add one more, you get 28. So with Mithunam, you get 56. Saundarya Lahari Shlokam says, Chitau Shat Panchashat, meaning in earth, there are 56. So the magic of these Shadanvaya numbers that we saw, 64 Manas, 72 Akasha, 54 Vayu, 62 Agni, 52 Jalam, 56 Prithvi. If you add all these things up, you would get 360. This is the representation of the Brahmandam and Pindandam, the one big circle. If you add to this 360, the initial six energy devatas, Andar Mithuna, so the Spara, Icha, Jnana Kriya, Kundalini, and Matrika, those six, and their Mithunams also, you get 360 plus 12, which is 372. So this is the secret that was indicated in the 14th sloka of Saundarya Lahari. The count is all fine. The seed is all fine. What is the puja about? What can you do with this Panchabhutam, Tanmatram, etc. in a puja? That would be the next natural question, isn't it? So Tantra Shastra claims, Yesham smarana matrena jivan mukto mahin charet sarvesham smarana saktaha shatsuka chaikamapi smaret yesham smritito lokaha papaha pujanat punaha lakshmivan dhyanato jivan mukto rashmikule vaset. So yesham smarana matrena jivan mukto mahin charet. If you contemplate on these, then just smarana matrena, even thinking about this, then you will wander on this earth as a jivan mukta. Sarvesham smarana asaktaha. So if you are unable to understand or contemplate or think about all these things, shatschu, of these six, ekamapi, at least one smaret, think. Okay, so at least contemplate or just one of these six anvayams, that is enough. Esham smritito lokaha papaha pojanat punaha. All your sins will be cut off. You will not be born again. You will reside in the Rashmi Kulam as a Mukta. Jivan Mukto Rashmi Kule Vaset. Do you understand why I gave the true inner meaning of these numbers? This Ragasyam itself is enough. It has enough details for you to contemplate further. Not just the Sastras, several Mahans have given indication on the potency of this Ragasya. When Shankara was able to say so many things in his Granthas, why should he restrict with just these pointers for this Ragasya? Now that you understand the science behind those numbers, how does that translate into the Pindantam and Brahmandam? Where does the rubber meet the road? That is also a key element to understand. Typically, they are supposed to be contemplated by the Sishya himself. This is the reason why it is not shared with everyone. And only when a Sishya has evolved to a state, these Ragasyas are shared. Ideally, when a Guru gives the Upadesam of Tattvamasi, the Sishya should go on his own, contemplate, and come back with the experiential knowledge of Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi is a Anubhuti Mahavakyam, meaning experienced Mahavakyam, not a Upadesa Mahavakyam. Only Tattvamasi is the Upadesa Mahavakyam. Okay? So Guru tells you are that, and then this guy goes and contemplates, what is you, what is that, what is I am equal, and then he comes back realizing, okay, that is me, okay, I am Brahman. So that is the Anubhuti Mahavakyam. So similarly, up to this, Shastras will give, and then the Yashishya is supposed to contemplate. There are again numerous inner meanings for these, and if I start to peel one by one, this itself will become another Varivasya Ragasyam type session, and you will all lose interest. So I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to simply tap into the outermost layer and leave it at that. Okay. Now, after Mooladhara and Manipurka, there is Agnisthanam. After Swadhisthana and Anahata, there is Suryasthanam. After Vishuddhi and Ajna, there is Chandrasthanam. So if you add the Rashmis in Mooladhara and Manipurka, you get 56 plus 52, that is 108. There are 108 Agni Rashmis that create a wheel or Avarnam. So if you add the Rashmis in Swadhisthana and Anahata, you get 62 plus 54, which is 116. There are 116 Surya Rashmis that create another Avarnam. If you add the Rashmis in Vishuddhi and Ajna, you get 72 and 64, that is 136. These are the 136 Chandra Rashmis that create another Avarnam. There are three Granthis on each of these Sthanas that ensures that the Swayam Prakasha Brahma Vastu from the Sahasrara is completely covered. So there are so many wheels that are covered because of the superimposed Rashmis of Agni, Surya and Soma. Okay, this is explained further in Gaudapada Acharya's Subhagodaya Stuti. Again, you can see that these are all points. Gaudapada Acharya is Paramaguru of Adi Shankara. So they all give pointers to this, but they will not go into further details. So he says, Satam cha ashtau vanne satamapi kala shodasaravehe satam shatcha trimshati sitamayamayukaha charanajaha yate sashtischa trisamtam trisatam abhavam tvacharanaja mahakaulai tanman nahi tavashive kalakalana. So he says, Satam cha ashtau vanne, for Agni there is 108, for Surya there is 116, Satam shata trimshata sitamaya, for Chandra there is 136. These came from your lotus feet. The combined total of shatrimsha trishatam, 360, these are used by Mahakala to create time, Kala Kalana. Okay, so we know how these numbers are derived. So those details I have given. In Bhairava Yamalam, it's same details are given. So I'm not going to read the actual slokas. Bhairava Yamala gives the same indication about the time dimension derivation from this 360 Rashmis. In fact, this Yamala even gives the details of how the days are from the 116 Surya Kala, nights are from the 136 Chandra Kala, and the Sandhyas are from the 108 Agni Kala. So if you add these up, it would come to 360 days, which make up one samvatsaram. There is another tantra that talks about how these six anvayas are six rutus as well. Muladhara is equated to Vasanta Ritu, where the smell is more prominent with flowers blooming, etc. The true number of kala or time indicated by the rutus in the Brahmanda is detailed here. So as you can see, Shastras have tried to highlight this Brahmanda, Pindanda expansion or Vimarsha in different various possible dimensions to drill down the concept of this dimensional Vimarsha Shakti into the Sadhaka. This is why Kubjika Tantra says, even if you don't get the various dimensions, it's okay. Just contemplate on just one and you can become a Jivan Mukta. I can see some of you already becoming restless and wondering, all these theories are fine. You keep on saying the same tattvas back and forth and there is nothing new. Even the confusion is not new. How do I bring it to my practical Kriya? Where does this whole thing fit into Sri Vidya Upasana? Well, where are these Rashmis coming from? Her Padaravindam. Where is her Padaravindam? In the Bindusthanam. If the rays are flowing from the Bindusthanam, it should be flowing only in the Sri Chakram, isn't it? So you can very well contemplate the whole thing in the Sri Chakram itself and do the Shambhava Rashmi Krama Sri Chakra Puja. That is interesting, right? So I have told that Khadgamala is very rarely used in your Mandali, isn't it? There have been several controversies about Khadgamala because of the Guru Krama present in it and also the various other Namas that comes within it, like Mahamaha Gupte, Mahamaha Anandi, Mahamaha Skande, Mahamaha Spande, Mahamaha Shaye, Mahachakra Nagara Samragni, etc., which does not appear in our normal Navavarna Puja Padati. So folks started to change it to match their Puja Padati and it is not right. So this is a Akshara mantra as well. If you add each Akshara, it would come to 1000. So it is the reason why it's called Sahasrakshari Vidya. So if you add all the Namas, including the Nitya Devis and Gurus and the last extra Namas, you would get 180 Namas. So if you add the Mithunam, you would end up getting 360 Namas total, 360 Namas. So if you split it by 56, 52, 62, 54, 72 and 64, you will get the Namas that can be done as a Sri Chakrarchana. Even better, it can be contemplated as a Nyasakrama and the Sri Chakras. This is called the Shambhava Rashmi Sri Chakra Puja. This is a simplified version as you contemplate it in the Sri Chakra itself, using the Sri Chakra Avarana Devatas themselves and the Mithunams. Now, there is an elaborate version of the same. This requires establishing a different yantra, talking about the connections, the anvayams of the six energy centers. Shadanvayam with the core Prakasha Rupa Brahman. Okay. So, if you hold on, if you go to your group, I would have attached a diagram. So that is the Shadanvaya Chakra. Okay, so you can look into that. So you can relate to what I'm going to talk now. Okay, so I talked about the elaborate version, right? So it is the connection, anvayam of the six energy centers, Shadanvayam with the core Prakasha Rupa Brahman. So we establish the Shatkona in the middle. And from each of these vertices, we link another Shatkona around it. Okay, so there will be the middle one is the Prakasha Bindu Brahman. And then the other six energy centers will be again represented by Shatkona only, but they will be linked to the centerpiece Shatkona, to those vertices. So this yantra is called Shadanvaya Shambhavaki Yantra. In this yantra, the middle Shatkona represents the Sahasrara Chakra, where the Brahman is seated. This is where the pure Prakasha Bindu is located. Because of the Mahamaha Spanda, the Vimarsha Shakti, the whole expansion of the Brahmanda starts to happen. And the six large energy fields starts to form. There are primary presiding deities in each of those Shadanvayas, okay, in those Shatkonas. The center one is obviously Kameshwara Sameta, Kameshwari, Lalita Mahatripa Sundari sitting there. We already saw how the Chit Sakti coupled with Prakasa Swarupa Nirupadika Brahman took a Sopadika Rupam called Paraha and presided over the Manas Chakram. This Thambadi is called Pareshwara because it's a para who is important there, right? So Pareshwara Sahita Pareshwari. Next is the Akasha Chakram. Here it is the Ichha Shakti. What are we looking for? We are looking for pure Anandam, which is E, and she came from the Chit Shakti para, but linked with the Vyat or Akasham, so Vit. So Vit plus Chit plus E, which is Viche. So the Dampati here is called Vicheshwara Sahita Vicheshwari. Next is the Anahata Chakram. Here it is the Prana is the Pradhanam. So the Dampati here is Hamseshwara Sagita Hamseshwari Aham Saha. That is the Pranam going back and forth. So Anahata Chakram is the Pranam Chakram. So makes sense. Hamseshwara Sagita Hamseshwari. Next is the Agni Chakram. Here Dampatis are called Sambartakeshwara Sagita Sambartakeshwari because Agni himself is called Sambartaka. So the name makes sense. Next is the Jala Chakram. Jalam is one that can form islands. Everything in the Brahmandam is surrounded by the fluid nature, change. Even mind is fluid. Body is surrounded by water, blood. Our planet is surrounded by water. And we are all big islands only, right? So the Dampati here is Dvipeshwara Sagita Dvipeshwari. Next is the Prithivi Chakram. Here is where the Kundalini resides. The job for this is to go and get merged with the Prakasha Bindu in the Sahasrara. But it is tied up with this Navadvara Rupa Pindadeham. In the cosmos, Navachakra Rupam Sri Chakram. So this reality we face is represented by this Dampati Navatmakeshwara Sagita Navatmakeshwari. So thus we have the presiding deities for each Sharanvayam. Each of these Ishwara and Ishwari have different Rishi Chandras, Dhyanam, Mantram, all those things. They all need to have their Urdhvam Naya prefix to it. We know that out of each of these energy fields comes various other Rashmis or rays. In our simple Sri Chakra Sambhava Rashmi Puja, we simply use the names of the Avarna Devatas along with the male counterpart that comes in Kankabala. But in this elaborate Krama, each of these Rashmis has a Shiva and Shakti names in the form of the Guru Dampatis. Here we split the allocate certain numbers to each of the six triangles in the Shatkona based on the total number of that Shadanvaya. Of that Shatkona. For example, the Manas Shatkona has 64 Rashmis, right? With the Dampatis included. It will be split into, but actually without the Dampatis, it is 32. And then we said with Shiva and Shakti, it is 32 plus 32 is 64. So the core is 32. So we will split that 32 into those six Shatkonas, vertices, those six triangles will be 4, 5, 4, 7, 4, and 8. So that results into 32. How we got that? That is another topic. So that will take another session. So you don't need to go that kind of peeling onions right now. Let's stop with that. So you would say, for example, even though there are 64 Rashmis, we do them together as a Dampati. For example, if Chidananda Natha and is the Shiva, the Guru, and then Paramba, Chit Paramba is the in the female aspect, then we will say Chidananda Natha, Chit Paramba, Sri Padakam Pujayami, Tarpayami Namaha. So we'll include the Dampati together. So we'll only have 32. If you want to do elaborately, you can do Chidananda Natha, Sri Padakam Pujayami, Prima, Chit Paramba, Sri Padakam Pujayami, Prima, then you'll get 64. But we, to simplify it, we'd only do it as a Dampati together. So instead of adding more, offering more flowers two different times, you'll simply include the Mithunam in one line and offer it once. So it will be a total of 32 offerings to them as a Dampati in this Manas Chakra, okay? Which will make up a total of 64. The Puja Padati for Sharan Vikrama itself is different. Okay, there will be additional Patras, and Patra Sadhana Padati is different. Since at the end, the idea is to merge the Sharanvaya back to the core, the need for Navanatha is the key. Because, yeah, you get all these connections till here. But from here to go into this, you need those Navanathas there. So the Navanatha Chakram from Ajna to Unmani would have to be installed and worshipped. Navanatha Bijam will be attached to every single Dampati while doing the Puja. Since all the Rashmis that we relate to come from the Aditya, a separate Mandalam and Patram for Saura is installed. Marthanda Chakram and Chakra Puja is performed. Since it is a Shambhava Krama Puja, a Shivalingam is installed and worshipped in the beginning. The Urdhvamnaya Nyasa Kramams have to be completed prior to starting the Sharamnaya Shambhava Rashmi Puja. You first start with the core, then go to the Manashatkona, then you worship there. In the middle, you worship Pareshwara and Pareshwari, perform the pujas, do Avahanadi Kriyas, and then do the 32 Dampati Pujas. After that, you follow the Manaskama linked to the Akasha Shatkona. In the middle, you worship Vicheshwara and Vicheshwari, perform the japas, do Avahanadi Kriyas. Then you follow the whole six triangles. Similarly, you go through all the six Anvayas. After this, you perform the Shambhava Rashmi Krama to the Sri Chakra using the Kadgamala Mithunam also. Finally, there is a 27 Ragasya Parakrama Puja that you perform and finish the puja. This is how the entire puja is performed. There is another method, a Samayachara method to this, which is even more secretive. There is a method of allocating the numbers in the Mooladhara, Twadishana, Manipuraka, Anahata, Vishuddhi, and Ajna Chakra, Chadudala, Shaddala, Dashadala, Dwadashadala, Shodashadala, and Dvidala to the respective 56, 52, 62, 54, 72, and 64 Rashmis. For example, there is a way to assign the 62 Rashmis in Agni Chakra to the 10 petal lotus and perform this whole puja as a Nyasakrama with proper layered contemplation. There are details on which Rashmi to be contemplated on which petal. I'm just mentioning this so that I'm registering that there is a such method. That's all. Okay. We'll be doing this puja in the expanded Sharanvaya Shambhavakya puja on the Sharanvaya Shambhavakya Yantram only tomorrow, which is the Guru Purnima day. As I mentioned in the beginning, this cannot be done on any day just like that. Just witnessing the puja itself is a blessing. I have heard only a handful of people in this last 12 years who have done this puja. Obviously, they were all in the past generations. I have not heard or seen anyone doing this puja regularly in the current generation. That should give you an idea how rare such an event is. And it's only because of the Guru Mandala Anugraham, I have been doing this without any break since 2010. I did this puja two times in 2010, one on Thai Kritika Day, which was the Gugananda Diksha Dina. This is when my gurus taught me this kriya. And then again on the Vyasa Purnami Day, on that year. After that, I have been doing this every single year on the Vyasa Purnami Day. In 2014, we went to Kailash during Vyasa Purnami Day and I did the whole expanded puja at the banks of Manasarovar. There was one more instance. I happened to be at the Charana of North Face of Kailash and I did this krama as prescribed in the Samayachara Padati. Tomorrow will be my 12th Sharanvaya Puja and I invite you all to come and attend this great event. And as the Shastra says, just contemplating on at least one aspect of the Sharanvaya guarantees Jivan Mukta state. What more can we ask for? Given the essence of this whole day krama, and may the Guru Mandalam blessings shower upon all of you and trigger the intensity of your sadhana. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Deva Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat, Parabrahma, Tasmai Shri Guru Venamaha.
Namaskaram Guru.
Namaskaram Guru.
Guruji.
Namaskaram
Guruji.
Guruji,
what
is
Guruji?
Vandur Goshikra.
நமஸ்காரம்
Yeah, sure.
Namaskar.